is high in the sky, and the clouds give way to the screeching of bats. The baying of wolves in the distance can only mean the time is right. Cross the threshold of a haunted convention center into the Scarab Gaming Tomb of Horror. Scarab is the South Carolina area role-playing and board gaming convention held annually in Columbia, South Carolina on MLK weekend. The Scarab Swarm can be found running games and events throughout the year. Views expressed on this show don't necessarily reflect anything, much like a vampire. It can be found on page 1D100 of your local Necronomicon. And now, here's your host, straight from Lord Wellington's beef trapeze by way of Transylvania, Count John Madman Manus.
Ooh, hello, my spooky little podcast listening friends, and welcome to another spooky episode of the Scarab Gaming Tomb of Horror. Ooh, spooky scary. I am Count Madman, and my announcer friend is my lackey and hench kobold, Toast. How are you doing today, Toast?
Well, I guess I'm doing fine. I don't suppose you have a tasty, juicy morsel for me to eat, Master?
Not yet, my impetuous fiend. I mean, friend. I sense we have new listeners today. Perhaps brought in from the cold because of an unfortunate flat tire on the side of the road. Or perhaps you've discovered the bridge is out. Well, no worries. Please, sit and have a drink. I have a story or two to keep us entertained while I send Toast out to fix what is wrong. Well, while we wait, as he tends to these matters, I sense you are trembling with excited nerves here. Drink this warm glass of cider, and eat some of these delicious treats. Me? Oh, I know, I mustn't. I do not drink cider, or eat, so soon after having woken up. It makes my stomach turn, and I find I end up having to run to the... But you do not come here for this, please. Sit. Ooh, spooky. And we shall hear tales of vampires and those who hunt them. Ooh.
Welcome once again to the thrilling adventures of Byron Gamble, Hunter of the Night Darkness. Brought to you by McKennessy's Fine Whiskey. Tonight's episode, The Nun Grenade.
When the nights are stormy and dark like tonight, I'm reminded of a night many years ago, just before the Scarab Club formed. I'd been on one of my regular trips to High Point. I tried to make my way there at least two times a year to keep an eye on the shadowy parts of the city. Werewolves and vampires were drawn to the area, and that night I had stumbled into the largest meeting of bloodsuckers I had seen in a long time. The meeting was upstairs in a fancy hotel just off the interstate. My local informant tipped me off before I lost contact with him, and I was afraid my friend's call was to be the last. Finding the place was easy enough. I just followed the trail of bodies and the smell of corruption right into the lobby of the High Point Heights Hotel. An exchange of glares and the clammy slap of a green-tinted paper like the slap of a cold woman's hand to the face after a warm night, and I was in. At the top of the stairs, I ran into two large meat slabs in suit who seemed to be more interested in barring my progress with their fist than they were in the sanguine revelries in the room just beyond them. They knew who I was, and told me pretty swiftly with loud crashing of their fist to my guts that I was not allowed. They would have punched my ticket for good if I hadn't brought my side of Old Lucky. I made it downstairs and into the corner off from the lobby. I'd been beaten pretty bad trying to get in. One of the meat-hooked guards had gotten a few too many lucky, well-placed hits to the ribs, and my face felt like a pumpkin carved up in August and left out till Thanksgiving, with a single-toothed grin slumping down one side and the lid slowly sliding into a cavity at the top of my dome. I pulled my trusty flask from my coat pocket and looked at the engraving, the symbol of the Scarab Druids. Colin, a psychic prophet I had met a few years before, gave it to me at a meeting of the round. He said it would grant me luck. Right now, was about to grant me the warm taste of pain-numbing, double-barreled McKennessy's whiskey. I took a belt and reread the inscription.
Though darkness may always fall upon the earth at night, the light of the noble spirit will always shine brightest when fighting the forces of darkness and evil. Never let defeat defeat your undefeatable desire to know and do what is in the lightness. A clenched fist often protects the weakest mouse, and mankind is a mouse to be protected. Ecclesio stempio duct et.
Truer words I did not think about. A few belts and the pain in my side eased away some. The storm outside and the revelry one floor above danced like an angry swine, fighting over a rich, moist truffle in my head, dancing on my eardrums. I was sure I would pass out if I wasn't careful enough. I continued to drink. Suddenly, the scent of rosaries and clean linens hit my nose like a soft kitten wrapped in a brick wall. I shot my eyes up quickly and my hat slowly. Old Lucky was warm, smelling of hot cinnamon, and reassured me that everything was all right. She was a nun.
Excuse me, I couldn't help notice you sitting there. You seem to be hurt.
Nothing I can't handle, sister. I got a whole flask of Hennessy's, feeling all right here. Just need to get it to the right places.
I see. Do you mind if I join you?
Well, this place ain't red, if that's what you're asking. Enjoy the freedom.
Thank you. My name is Anna. Sister Anna.
Evening. The name's Gamble. Byron Gamble.
What brings you in from the storm to drinking here alone, Mr. Gamble?
Seemed like the right thing to do.
You aren't joining the party tonight?
Didn't bring a shovel to dig those kinds of shins, I'm afraid. Not my bag.
Seems awfully boisterous up there.
Yeah, I guess it does. What are you doing here?
I guess I, too, felt like coming out of the storm. So what kind of gathering is going on up there?
Vampires. A meeting of all the biggest ones in this area.
I don't under...
Bloodsuckers. Nosferatu, the devil's mark, just like in the pulps.
I don't believe those things exist.
Well, my ribs would disagree with you.
Well, then, what can we do?
You really want to do something, sister? Do you really believe you can do what it...
I have my faith and my belief in God. If there's something evil up there, my faith will keep me.
Prove it.
But how?
Take your crucifix there. When you get into the room with all of them upstairs, hold it up in front of you. Repeat the words that come to your heart. How strong is your faith, sister?
What? Very strong, of course.
Well, then you hold up this one finger. Show them how singular your belief is. Show them that you have faith in the one true God.
How do I even get in there?
Well, Sister Anna, they all have these strange get-ups and costumes on. The guards should just let you run in. Smile at them, but don't show them your teeth. They'll think your habit is just some sort of fancy dress.
Very well. I will try.
The sister left me there and made her way upstairs. The bouncers must have let her in, I guess. After a few minutes, the party's mood took a sharp change, like a butcher getting paid in two fistfuls of quarters with the edges filed down to a razor's fine, cutting sheen. There was a quiet at first, and then screaming. I pushed myself up and looked toward the stairs of the balcony. Flashes of light and the smell of charcoal filled the air. People, or rather things with the forms of people, were running to the stairs and bursting into flames before they could even touch the second or third steps. A few desperate ones tried jumping off the balcony, only to have an ashen human form disperse into the air moments before crashing into the floor below. When I could see through the smoke, I could see the briefest glimpse of Sister Anna, standing in the center of the room, one hand at her cross, and the other raised with a single finger raised high to the heavens. I had pulled the pin. I had turned her into a powerful explosive of faith and power against the undead. Sister Anna had become a nun grenade. The next morning, the bellhop at the hotel found me passed out in the stairwell. I grabbed my hat and flask and asked him what had happened that morning. He expressed anguish over the great mess from the upstairs guest, who had all skipped out without paying. I asked him about Sister Anna, and he looked at me strange. Sister Anna, he told me, had been dead for 2 years. She had been killed in the hotel, and they had found the strange bite marks on her neck.
Tune in next week when the Tales of Scare brings you D. Bertram Cullen and Polk Sky in Unconventional Conventions.
And then I pistol whipped the witch.
Brought to you by the smooth, to-the-face taste of McKennessy's fine, fine whiskey. McKennessy's, drop some into your face today.
Ooh, that was spooky. Super spooky, wasn't it? I see you've hardly touched your treats. Please eat, eat. Go ahead, take a bite. Oh, and speaking of bites, here's a little sound bite to tide us over. Over.
So hey, this is John. I had a chance recently to get together with all of the Scarab Swarm staff, and I asked them this important question. What would you want to be for Halloween this year? So I asked each of them to just kind of introduce themselves and say what they wanted to be for Halloween this year. And here's some of the things that they said. Enjoy.
My name is Dell Collins, and I am Big Bread and Butter.
I'm Brian Gambrell, and...
I'm Amy Gambrell.
Sorry, first dibs on animal.
Hey,
I get to play animal.
I can wild child from Lancaster.
I'm Miles Schultz, Street Sand. Bone lacing and claws all the way.
And I'm Liz Schultz, a doomsday device. It's kind of like the thing in The Princess Bride.
My name is Maggie Teese, and I am Apple Bunnies, which you see in anime all the time, where people are eating little Apple Bunnies.
I'm Alicia Polkowski. Pimps up, hose down. Yeah, look at the truffles. Oh, so many truffles.
Chocolate truffle. Well, I'm Matt Polkowski.
Hello, my name is John Manus, and I'm also the first Scarab Iron GM. Johnman.podbean.com.
I'm Randy Miller.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not supposed to have a goat, but my supervisor lives outside.
Okay, and I'm Kenetha Miller. Hand flowers, but it's going to be a scale mail hand flower.
I'm Ruby Jones, ghost counting the Azuki beans.
Well, my name is Merrick.
And I'm Clayton Harbaugh.
There's duct tape involved, and I'm going to get the details wrong. All those monsters are real, and they're trying to get you.
The Scarab website.
Hi there. I'm Steve Holly, the miniature gaming coordinator for Scarab, the red box set for Touch of Dragons.
And I'm Felicia Holly. Lupin Louie.
Lupin Louie, yes.
Which, that's what it's the game with the little airplane guy.
Stupid car, why do I always gotta be the one to go fix these things? Clearly, I don't fix anything. Huh? Geo Metro, I don't think they made these things anymore. Much less that they ran. Huh, let's see. Let me look around here. I got some rubber bands around here somewhere. Maybe I can find... Let me turn on the radio. Maybe I can at least listen to some music while I pretend to fix this thing.
Dell went down to Georgia, he was looking for a game to run. He was in a state, he was running late, but everybody was gonna have fun. When he came across this young boy rolling some dice and playing it hot, and Dell whipped out his PFS stuff and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a Pathfinder player too. And if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play a pretty good game, boy, but give Dell his due. I bet these dice are gold against your soul. I roll dice better than you." The boy said, "My character's new and just out of character gen, but I'll take your bet and you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best there's ever been.
Newbie, freshen up your dice and play your PC hard, cause Dell's broke loose in Georgia and he's got 5 GM stars. And if you win, you get this shiny D6 made of gold, but if you lose, then Dell gets your soul."
Dell opened up his case and he said, "I'll start the show." And fire flew from his fingertips as Scarab D6 rolled. And he pulled his sheet out from his bag and it made an evil hiss. And a band of Scarabs joined in and it sounded something like this.
Huh. You don't say.
Dell finished, the newbie said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son. But sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done.
Fire in the moat, take run, boys, run. The tail's in the mattress, the bloody one. Dummies in the box, free picture the low. Chris is a shout back, no chest bow.
Then Dell bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid the golden D6 on the ground at the newbie's feet. Newbie said, Dell, just come back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, society man, I'm the best there's ever been, and he played
fire in the motor, run, boys, run. Dell's the match, the bloody one. Dummies in the box, free picture below. Chris is a dog, but no just bow.
Ooh, some more spooky stuff, huh? Yes? I mean, ooh, it's like spiders and creepy things, right? No? Well, drink your cider. Here's something spooky for you. Yes. Here's some spooky scarab news. Woo! At least pretend to be scared, huh? Ooh. Stupid bats.
Hey guys, it's John here with some scarab news. I know it's been a while, so let's cut straight to it. You're probably wondering where you can find the scarab swarm next. Well, there's two very important dates that I want you to remember. First off, in Warner Robins, Georgia, you'll be able to find some of the scarab swarm running some games and such at King Con. And you can check them out at kingcongaming.com. That's all one word. And that's going to be December 12th and December 13th. Other than that, I think that's pretty much it. Oh, wait, what's this? Oh, that's right. January 15th through 18th is, of course, Scarab Gaming Convention in Columbia, South Carolina. MLK weekend. It's a nice 4-day convention. A lot of people have Monday off. So why not take advantage of that? Cram as much gaming as possible into it. There's all sorts of stuff going on at Scarab this year. I mean, we've got our normal gaming, tabletop RPGs. We got board games. So many board games. We've got, let's see, what else have we got here? There's going to be a costume contest. There is, of course, the Scarab Iron GM contest. What? There is the very important GM or VIP GM room. Check that out. There's going to be all sorts of board game tournaments. We're going to have, as far as role-playing games, there is the Open RPG Gaming, and I know there's going to be all sorts of cool stuff there. There might be some Call of Cthulhu. I want to say there's going to be some Gumshoe Trail of Cthulhu at the very least. I'm probably going to be running some sort of Kobolds Ate My Baby related game. As far as organized play, there's going to be Dungeons & Dragons Explorers League, Shadowrun Missions, Pathfinder Society, and don't forget, we're going to have the super awesome Saturday night Pathfinder special. Definitely want to check that out. In the media room, there's going to be karaoke and move games. There's going to be a paint and take. We've got our miniatures track, which is going to have all sorts of wargaming. I may have already mentioned that. I don't know if I did or not. There's, of course, going to be the return of the Scarab Smash or social media scavenger hunt, which went off pretty well. Just remember, bear holding a shark. There's going to be a kids track, widows track, I believe. We're going to have LARP track coming back again, and much, much more. Now, recently, Dell posted something about Tier 1. There's still being some Tier 1 slots available. And I know everybody got excited, especially all those people who were asking me what exactly a Tier 1 slot actually means. Yeah. Well, let me break that down for you. Basically, it's our volunteer system. We have 5 levels of it. At tier 5, if you donate 5 hours of your time, you can get in with a discounted badge, $35. If you don't, tier 4, if you donate 10 hours, you get in with a discounted badge at $30. Tier 3, donating 15 hours, you get a $25 badge. And then it gets exciting because at tier 2, when you donate 25 hours of time, you get a free badge, a t-shirt, and a $5 food per diem at the cantina that's going to be at the convention center. Now, if you go for tier 1, which is the thing Dell was talking about, it's 35 hours of your time. So if you're running games, that's roughly 7 games, I want to say. You get a free badge, same like you get in tier 2, a t-shirt, the $5 per diem for food. You get a special GM gift that has at least a $30 value attached to it, and you get a quarter of a hotel room. That's right, you get to share a hotel room with 3 other GM type folks. So that's pretty exciting. And of course, all of this information and more can be found at our website, www.s-c-a-r-a-b.com. That's Scarab with a bunch of little hyphens thrown in there. Don't just throw them in anywhere. You got to throw them in between each letter. Otherwise, it doesn't quite work. I'm John, and that's some Scarab news.
Well, that was pretty scary, huh? Ooh, I see that Toast has come back inside, and he has in his claws some spooky Swarmcast mail. Ooh.
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure.
Ooh, read the first one.
Oh, okay, whatever. Dear Swarmcast, what's up, guys? I really like your last show about music and stuff. Have you ever considered using dance or interpretive dance in your games? Yours truly, Chimpo Baggins, Lexington, South Carolina. Well, Chimpo, I don't know where to begin on this one. I'd have to say, in reverse order, no, thanks, and your face.
Ooh, good job, Toast. I really felt that one. Oh, I mean, ooh, scary, spooky letters. Here, let me read this one. Let's see, HJK, abbreviations apparently, writes, Dear Scarabs, ooh, smutterable. I am a long-time board gamer, ooh, board games, very scary, and I have a few questions. First off, what type of game would you say that your convention is? Second, any chance I could get some Scarab meeples? Third, you sure have a lot of games in your board game library. Can I just check them out at the conventions? For reals? Your friend, HJK. Well, HJ, if I may call you that. HJ, I'd say that ScarabCon is like a Euro game with a drafting mechanic and worker placement. Mwah.
What? No, it's more like tile placement with a party game.
Oh, do you think so?
Yeah, I mean, look, just look at the staff.
Oh, good point. Well, let's split the difference. How about this? Is a party drafting tile game
with middies?
Yes, good point. Probably from one of our sponsors, like Greenbrier Games.
Oh, yeah, they got nice components with their stuff.
Yes, it's true. It's Jerry, about those meeples. Get with it, man. It's all about the 3D printed tokens these days. And we're not anywhere near that. Maybe 2017 or 2018. Collectible Scarab Swarm minis. I like this. Make this a demand at the Ridge Desk this year. Third thing. Thank you. Yes. And yes. You can check out whatever games you want from the board game library. It's just that simple. Frighteningly simple. We got another letter?
Yeah. From, I'm a not rich more. Really? I'm a not rich more? Come on. Anyways, he writes, Hey, Dell owes me some dice. Calvin is a poopy goblin butthead. Nice one, not rich more. A lot of folks want stuff from Dell. Get in line. As for Calvin, well, you are what you read, I guess. Well, that's it. No more mails.
Ooh, well, that was spooky. Let's see here. Send us your emails and comments. Either email us at swarmcast@s-c-a-r-a-b.com.
Jeez.
Or you can leave us a message, a spooky message on Facebook. Is Facebook still a thing?
That's the
thing. Okay, Facebook. And now, how about a spooky, spooky game review? Ooh.
So, on one dark and stormy night, we all gathered together for some reason and said, hey, let's play a quick game of Fantasy Flight's Eldritch Horror.
I blame Christian.
Fair enough.
Yes, Kristen said, I want to play that. I have never played that. Now, we're all coming from a background of having played Arkham Horror, so we were prepared for the, or thought we were prepared for the horror that would have been this game.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Yeah. Clever. So, Eldritch Horror is your sort of Lovecraftian type of game. It's a bit more in the pulpy kind of vein. I think it's more like the August Derleth approach to the game.
English major.
But aside from that, so what did we think of the games? First off, the people that were playing the game was myself, my wife Ruby.
Hey.
Kristen, who of course suggested the game.
Yep.
And our friend Matt came by just in time during the long explanation of setting up the game to join in the game.
Yeah, right after the rules.
Right after the
rules. Perfect.
So, what did we think of this game, Ruby?
Personally, I'm not a huge Cthulhu fan, just because I'm about sick of listening to people talk about Cthulhu. I did not like Arkham Horror because it takes forever. So I was rather leery about doing Eldritch Horror, but I must like Christian, so I agreed. And I was prepared to be playing on my tablet in between turns, and I ended up not doing that at all. So I actually kind of enjoyed it. We spent
about 5 hours.
Was it 5 hours?
Yeah, no. Set up.
From setup to...
Okay, yeah.
Right.
That's setup, learning the rules, and playing.
Yep.
So, once we got the hang of the rules, I thought it went pretty well.
What about you, Kristen? What do you think?
So, I've played Arkham Horror several times, and yeah, the setup and gameplay time on that is pretty brutal. So, the benefit I'd heard about Eldritch Horror is it streamlines a lot of it, and the gameplay goes faster. And yes, that was confirmed. And I actually enjoy Arkham Horror, so being able to play it in a shorter amount of time... pretty awesome. Plus, you get the whole globe-trotty thing. You're not stuck in a single city. So you can go and hang out in Africa and Asia and South America.
There wasn't a lot of, I gotta go to the hospital. I gotta spend the next 10 turns in the hospital to recover.
So much of the stuff was streamlined.
There was no money.
And that benefited
the
flow of gameplay quite a bit.
So as a quick side note, the box says it's supposed to be 2 to 4 hours. So...
yeah, once you got the hang of it.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe not the first play, but...
yeah.
So we were right in there, because Arkham Horror is like 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah.
After setup. So, yeah. Much faster. And with a lot of the same...
same elements, kind of similar mechanics.
A lot of the
mechanics.
Same elements of Arkham Horror. So, yeah, if you like Arkham Horror, this is a faster way of playing.
A lot of the pieces looked like... the pieces straight out of Arkham Horror.
Yeah, a lot of
the monsters and stuff. What about you, Matt? What do you think?
I really enjoyed it. It took me a while to figure out how to use the character I had, I felt like. I didn't really get that down until the very end. Granted, once that happened, power just exploded through the roof, so that was pretty crazy. I don't know, like, for the first half of the game while we were playing, I was worried that we had no chance of winning at all, and then we finished our first mystery, and it seemed to move really quickly after that. So
I agree. I think maybe we lucked out a little with the random combo that we picked, because I chose mine randomly. I didn't actually look at any of their abilities or whatnot.
Yeah.
Same here.
So
mostly.
Honestly, I think what happened was... we hit a certain cap on the number of items and assets and everything that we had. And after that point, it's just like all of the challenges kind of dissolved to a certain degree.
It was more about tactical movement and...
yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of like the first half of the game was, all right, we got to gear up. And then once we figured out who was good at getting that particular gear, because that's kind of what it felt like. Like, I was really good at getting the allies. Kristen apparently somehow was really good at just getting the guns.
I just kind of lucked into, because unlike in Arkham Horror, where you have a number of hands that you can use to wield items.
Yeah, you just have a backpack or
dual
something.
Dual wield a shotgun and an axe, and also have a carbine as a backup. You exponentially increase your combat effectiveness as you get more items. So that helped.
I had fun playing this game.
I did too.
Definitely had fun.
You could easily convince me to play again.
And that's saying a lot.
Yes. It is.
I think this kind of has that thing that most Fantasy Flight games have for it, where you have to get through that initial, how do I set up the game? And then,
God, what are all these pieces?
Right, I think once we figure that out, I think if we went to go play it again, it'd be a little bit easier because you're like, okay, well, that's right, we got to get these pieces out. Plus, everything kind of was all jumbled in there, so putting all the different tokens in there in separate baggies was really going to help out a lot.
Yep.
Everything kind of in its right place, as it were.
And I would say it doesn't fall trap once you get used to turn flow and whatnot.
Yeah.
Doesn't fall into the same trap that I've noticed with several other of the Fantasy Flight games in the same genre of having long waits between.
That is true.
Correct.
I took my turn. Now everyone else has to go take their turns and.
Like I said, I was expecting to play around on my tablet.
Yeah. Instead, there was a lot of fast flow through that, which was nice.
Right, and this was I thought it was an excellent co-op game, because I really did feel like we were actually working together towards something.
Yeah.
Because to me, Arkham Horror always feels like everyone's telling each other, yeah, we'll work together, and then someone still ends up getting kind of screwed over in the end. Somebody's, usually me, is like, well, I guess I'll just hang out with the alienist, regaining all my sanity, because nobody's coming to help me out. This didn't feel like that at all. It felt like it was easier to get around the board if you needed to. That was a really nice mechanic, being able to sit there and buy those tickets so that you could speed your way across the map if you needed to. Or then, teleport people around. As you do.
Magic.
Magic and stuff.
Mego brain cases. So.
So it felt like, to me, it felt like this was a fun, this felt like it was a fun co-op game. It had an interesting little Lovecraftian flair, but to me, it didn't really seem like a Lovecraftian game. It just seemed very pulpy. So if you like that, if you think you should be able to just blast through Eldritch Horrors and stuff, hey, with shotguns, then this is definitely the game for you.
Yeah.
If you feel like you should just horribly lose, then Arkham Horror. This game has some expansions. We just played the core. So I'm sure the gameplay will change dramatically if we used any of the expansions. I don't really know, because I don't know what those expansions are.
Yeah.
I got to imagine it's like King in Yellow and
future, stuff like that. Future podcast segments.
There we go. All right. So again, Eldritch Horror, Fantasy Flight Games. This game is available in the Scarab Library, so if you come to Scarab, and you should, you can easily check this game out and play it. And one of these three guys will teach you how to play it. All right.
No, I won't.
Any last words, guys? Before we read the book and I'll go insane.
I really like that book, though.
try to stay out of debt. It doesn't end well.
Yeah, you know, that was the funny part of this game. It wasn't so much, I'm going insane for reading this book. I'm in a lot of trouble because I keep taking out bank loans.
I don't know. I gambled a lot with those bank loans, and it paid off pretty well for me. I had to hide from the cops a few times, but, you know.
Yes. So creepy things coming from out of space, not as big a threat as as the banks when they want their money, apparently. All right. Well, that sounds good. I'll stop this thing now. Cthulhu for talking.
Well, it appears now that your car and or the bridge are working once again. You must speed off into the daylight once more. But I know that soon you'll return to the spooky Scarab Shack.
That's the Scarab Gaming Tomb of Horror.
What? Tomb. I mean, the Scarab Gaming Tomb of Horror. Ooh, even scarier. Now, I, a Count Madman, I must bid farewell. I shall fly off like a bat into the night in my wolf-shaped Franken-coffin. Yes, it's very, very scary.
Every time, it's the same thing over and over again. That's it! That's the end of this episode of the Scarab Swarmcast. If you liked this, or even if you didn't, feel free to send us an email at swarmcast@scarab.com. That's S-C-A-R-A-B. Lots of little dashes in there. Or you can leave us a message on Facebook. Yeah, Facebook. If you want us to read any of your comments on the show, let us know. Hey, subscribe to our show. Check out the show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Or you can grab that new RSS feed from our website. You can get our website off of Facebook or off of Scarab's website. It's all a bunch of internet flibbity-jibbity. So, until next time, when you think of Scarab's Wormcast, think of this podcast. And when you think of toast, think of me!
Music on the Scarab Swarmcast is by iFightDragons at iFightDragons.com, MC Lars at MCLars.com, and Midnight Syndicate at MidnightSyndicate.com.
We went on many missions and amazing expeditions, flying through the pages on that magic school bus. Shel Silverstein wrote shotgun, but it was up to us to peel apart the layers and search for the dragons, the cats wearing hats, Curious George and Peter Rabbit, the newest, freshest books. Mom always brought them home. Then in high school, it was Steinbeck, Keats, and Edgar Allan Poe.
Don't let the memories fade, we gotta make them last. I was still a baby when Grandma Katie passed and passed on her hardcover novels with the Sutherland nameplates, our family gospel. Cause I'm not sure if the Lord is above, but I know your mother is alive and the stories you love that you read to us when we were little until we were grown. And I'm gonna pass them on when I got some kids of my own. Kids of my own.
Of the monsters in the closet, it would be alright. Reading Goosebumps up at Tahoe on those summer nights.
Of a moaning ghost or of a pile of bones. Even when the floorboards groaned.
Did Stuart Little give up?
No.
He always persevered. You came on stage at Warped Tour, remember how they cheered? And unlike Jackie Paper, I'll be back to Honolulu to play you my new demos, cause you're so honest with me. At home you won't put up with that rapper ego crap, cause to you I'm still Andrew, and I'll always treasure that. I choose my own adventure, it's taken me so far. Ghost riding giant beaches, catching seagulls with these bars.
Keep all your nickels and dimes, feed me your riddles and rhymes, read me your wrinkle in time, build me your bridge out to Terabithia, meet me at 9 on the mysterious island right at the scene of the crime. Come with Captain Nemo, but I'm emo, don't leave me behind, staring at the sun out on the quay till we're legally blind. Treasony, mutiny on the bounty, just carry me there, out by where the red fern grows and then bury me there. Bury me there.
Of the Twits or the Grinch or even Captain Hook. Of Bugs, Bunce or Bean, no, I was never shook.
Of the Grendel or of Ichabod Crane. Even when the tripods came.
Now suddenly, for the first time, I'm ready to be alive.
And if I ever have kids, I'll read them Strega Nona, Lyle Lyle, Crocodile, Matilda, and Ramona.
I'll never give him the back of my hand. Give him the giver, the river hatchet and Raggedy Ann. And even as a rat fiend, mama, you always kept my hats clean, mama. Even though we have seen trauma, you always had the vaccine, mama. Getting lost in Narnia because we had a map.
I was never afraid.
In those Oakland Hills sitting on my mama's lap.
I was never afraid.
In Jumanji or of Anansi.
I was never afraid.
There's no orc or Morlock that haunts me.